Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio and Television Network. Starting off with today's videos, I'm playing a clip from a recent broadcast of Dr. Steve Turley on his YouTube channel, which does a great job of summarizing and pointing toward future legal action by the Trump administration regarding what is being called a treasonous conspiracy against President Trump. And I would imagine that most of you are well familiar with this treasonous conspiracy. I posted a link to the full episode of this broadcast by Dr. Turley on my pages at x.com, but the video capture we're playing here is the essence of Turley's comments on the matter. I have to agree that this plot to take down and destroy Donald Trump, allegedly involving President Barack Obama himself and some of the highest officials in his administration, was indeed a treasonous conspiracy. We all saw the relentless attacks by these officials on Trump during his first term in office, involving spying on him and members of administration, the persecution prosecutions of members of his administration and Trump himself, including, of course, the ridiculous Russia collusion hoax, which is the center of this conspiracy. When all this failed to destroy Trump, his opponents were ready with the largely rigged and corrupted 2020 election, for which the long-suppressed evidence is overwhelming, and that resulted in his political defeat and the installation in the White House of the notoriously corrupt, pathological liar and bootlick lackey of the deep state and his Chinese Communist Party allies, Joe Biden. Now again, as I always point out here, I am in no way calling for any violence or illegality against the corrupt and pro-communist Democratic Party members, their rhino allies, or anyone else. Not only would that be legally and morally wrong, but it would be just plain stupid in playing into the hands of our political enemies. That said, I feel an overwhelming need to express my outrage at all that's happened over these past few long years as we Trump supporters have had to languish in political purgatory, so to speak, as we saw this appalling corruption and wrongdoing unfold in front of us and witness the evil that's been done to our country.
Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your back porch professor. I hope you're having a wonderful weekend, but I can certainly tell you who's not, and that is none other than Barack Hussein Obama. What I'm about to show you will change everything you thought you knew about the Russian collusion hoax. For 8 years, we've been told by both the Democrats and their pathetic mouthpieces in the legacy media that Trump was the traitor, that he was the one who colluded with Russia to steal the 2016 election. To this day, the legacy media refuses to let that go. But as of the last 24 hours, explosive declassified documents just revealed the real conspiracy. And it goes straight to the top of the Obama administration. This isn't speculation anymore. This is documented treason. Let's start from the beginning. As many of you know, Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, just dropped a bombshell that the mainstream media is absolutely panicking over. She has officially referred Obama administration officials to the Department of Justice for criminal prosecution. Yes, you heard that right. Criminal prosecution for what she is calling, quote, treasonous conspiracy. Now, I'm going to say off the bat here, this is absolutely brilliant. I love how the Trump administration is going about this. In fact, Tulsi is conducting a masterclass right before our very eyes in terms of releasing documents and exposing the corruption at the core of our federal government. Had Pam Bondi and the Justice Department done this, they would have immediately been accused, ironically, of lawfare, right? Legal retribution against Trump's enemies, blah, blah, blah. But now with the Director of National Intelligence doing this, with Tulsi's department not only gathering and assimilating all the documents and the proof, but then releasing them to the public for all to see precisely why she's referring Obama officials to the DOJ for prosecution. That takes the accusation of lawfare from the DOJ completely off the table. The DOJ is being given the green light by the Director of National Intelligence to prosecute this. In other words, this did not originate in a prosecutor's office and therefore can't be accused of prosecutorial misconduct. It was just brilliant in terms of how it all rolled out. Now, what precisely rolled out? What is Tulsi exposing here? According to the newly declassified documents, the Obama administration's own intelligence community, we're talking everyone, CIA, FBI, NSA, Department of Homeland Security, all concluded, every single one of them. Are you listening, CNN? You're listening, Georgie Stephanopoulos, 60 Minutes? You guys all listening to this? Every single intelligence agency under Obama officially concluded that Russia did not have the intent or capability to hack the 2016 election. They have the documentation to show that this is a huge bombshell. Okay, we've got the documentation that shows Obama's own intelligence agencies, every single one of them, all agreed that Russia could not and did not change the 2016 election. But here's where it gets criminal. On December 9th, 2016, Obama called a secret meeting in the White House Situation Room. Again, we have the documentation. Present were FBI Director James Comey, Andrew McCabe, the Deputy FBI Director, CIA Director John Brennan, James Clapper, who was then the Director of National Intelligence, who, by the way, had helped author a memo affirming the day before this meeting that there was no viable Russian interference in the election. Got John Kerry, the Secretary of State, and National Security Advisor Susan Rice. In that room, they together, along with Obama, made a decision that would poison American politics for years. They decided to manufacture fake intelligence that directly contradicted their own experts. A presidential daily brief was drafted on December 8th, the day before the meeting, stated clearly that Russian actors did not impact recent U.S. election results. This document was supposed to be published the next morning and made public. It never saw the light of day. Why? Because Obama's team buried it. They buried it and ordered in its place the creation of a completely fabricated, fraudulent intelligence assessment. Within hours of that secret meeting, anonymous sources who were all clearly Obama officials leaked false information to the Washington Post and the New York Times, claiming Russia had intervened to help Trump. Hillary Clinton was in on it as well. She helped supply the fabricated Steele dossier, right? That's a dossier that documented supposed salacious activities that Trump had engaged in that Putin was using to blackmail, was all completely made up. But she was part and parcel of that fabrication. She helped the Obama administration deliberately spread misinformation regarding, at that time, President-elect Trump and Russia's influence over the election and over him. This was the foundation for the entire Mueller investigation that cost us tens of millions of dollars. This is ultimately the foundation of the two impeachments and years of harassment against President Trump and his family. So let's be crystal clear about what all of this means. We now have ironclad proof, documented proof, that the outgoing administration, the Obama administration, deliberately used the full power of the intelligence community to create false evidence and false accusations against the incoming president in a deliberate attempt to sabotage and bring down his presidency. Gang, that's not politics, that's a coup, or at least an attempted coup. And as Tulsi implicated here, this is exactly what the Founding Fathers warned us about when they wrote treason into the Constitution. And here's the beautiful irony in this. You're ready for this? It gets even better. There is no statute of limitations on federal treason. None. Zippo. Biden's preemptive pardons? Done. They don't cover crimes that weren't under investigation at the time. James Comey, John Brennan, and potentially Obama himself could face the justice they've avoided for 8 long years. Tulsi Gabbard has done what Republicans have been promising for years. She's actually taken action. These documents are now in the hands of Attorney General Pam Bondi. And for the first time, we have a real shot at bringing these nefarious actors to accountability. Now, speaking of that, we have to talk about the 500-pound elephant in the room here, or better, the 500-pound donkey in the corner. As horrific as these revelations are, they're clearly treasonous. They are clearly conspiratorial. As horrific as these revelations are, gang, we have got to come to terms with the fact that there is no DC jury imaginable that would ever convict Obama or his inner circle. None. Our good friend Rich Barris has been pointing this out on X. We can salivate all we want about the DOJ bringing charges against everyone involved in this conspiracy, but the cold, hard reality is that there is no conceivable court inside the Beltway of D.C. that will even consider convicting Obama and his ilk. Now, I bring that up because there are options. As I understand, there are very legitimate options to get around that utterly corrupt cesspool of radical fanatics that make up the D.C. courts. But let me start with a little myth-busting here. I've seen a lot of videos with clickbaity titles promising military tribunals and all of this. I actually get asked this question a lot as to whether there will be military tribunals in any of this. Let me bust that myth immediately. The answer to that is a hard no, okay? I'm talking, it's not even within the realm of reality. We're about analysis here. Treason and every other federal crime are tried in Article III courts, not military commissions. There is no statutory mechanism to shift a civilian's federal case, including a former president, into a military system. Zero nada. So do not click on those videos promising military tribunals. They're just clickbait. They don't know what they're talking about. Military tribunals are specific for enemy combatants, accused U.S. service members, and spies aiding and abetting an enemy regime. So don't go down that futile rabbit hole. Instead, the good news is that there are some options here for civilian courts. First, U.S. Code 3237 states that if any part of a corruption scheme touches another district, like a wire transfer routed through, say, New York, or an email passing through Virginia servers, or the use of the postal service, or laundering money via an out-of-state bank, if any part of the crime touches another court district, the prosecutor may lay venue, that is, file the lawsuit, in that alternate district. Now, the clear advantage here is that because they were spying on Trump while he was campaigning and deliberately trying to interfere in a national election, that opens up all kinds of possibilities of charging everyone involved, including Obama, in almost any court venue. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that there are statutes that carry baked-in venue flexibility. In other words, there are certain crimes that allow for the defendant to be charged in any venue across the country, any district court. So this involves crimes like money laundering, wire fraud, and, as it so happens, conspiracy. According to U.S. Code 18, Section 371, conspiracy to commit offense or to defraud the United States may be tried in any court jurisdiction. And already we're seeing Tulsi has underscored the conspiratorial nature of these crimes, these alleged crimes, I should say, committed by Obama and his inner circle against President Trump. So that's another option. So you got the multi-district option where you can try the defendants in any jurisdiction their crime impacted. And then you've got the specific crimes that are allowed to be tried anywhere in the country, with conspiracy being one of them. There is a nuclear option. And that nuclear option is for Congress to basically just shut down the D.C. federal court system. So as I understand it, the federal court system does work in conjunction with Congress. So Trump, being the executive under Article 2 of the Constitution, simply can't abolish it through an EO, as I understand it. You need Congress to act. You need Congress to acknowledge, in this case, that the court system is incurably corrupt. It's a Democrat cabal. It's designed to allow the Democrat deep state to operate with impunity. It's beyond repair, and there is no possibility of the administration of justice in such a court. There is no D.C. court imaginable that will ever convict an obviously guilty Obama or any of his inner circle. It's just not going to happen. And so there is precedent for this. Congress has, over the years, reorganized, integrated, and even eliminated various federal district courts as part of broader judicial reforms and political changes. But that would obviously be a huge ask given the thin margins of the Republican majority. So options one and two appear to be the most plausible. But make no mistake, we are going to get accountability one way or another here. This is why Trump won, and he knows it. This is why we all fought so hard. The American people knew something was rotten, and now we have the proof, which means that the deep state's greatest fear is not Donald Trump. Their greatest fear is the truth finally coming to light.
Thankfully and mercifully, it does appear at long last that we will eventually see at least most of the principal bad actors in this long-standing political nightmare, injustice, and damage to our country brought to justice. Due to presidential immunity, Barack Insane Obama may escape that injustice. May escape that justice. However, if he is implicated in treasonous actions in this matter after he left office, then I say he too should face a judicial reckoning for his behavior. We will see what happens in the coming months. Our next video today is from a July 24 posting, again by Dr. Steve Turley on his YouTube channel. This show titled, This is the End of Gavin Newsom. And this broadcast discusses the disastrous policies and actions of California's radical pro-communist Democratic governor, Gavin Newsom. On our previous podcast, I played a video shown years ago on the gatewaypundit.com after the recall election for Newsom in California, in which you see more than 350,000 votes from the Yes on Recall column on the night of that election suddenly disappear. Newsom was later hailed by his sycophants in the leftist-dominated legacy media as soundly defeating the recall and, by inference, being wildly popular with California voters. If you'll recall, not long ago, the illustrious California governor and supposed superstar of the Democratic Party, heading for a 2028 presidential run, visited China, ostensibly to talk trade and, of course, involving the Democrat, communist, globalist mantra of climate change with Chinese officials. Newsom was granted a personal audience with Chinese Communist Party leader Xi Jinping. As far as I'm concerned, you don't get a personal audience with the top CCP leader unless you're a very important, useful idiot for the CCP.
California's slick-haired governor just hit a political brick wall. You're about to see how his carefully polished brand is imploding under the weight of the economic carnage, the runaway crime, and the spectacular hypocrisy that is the epitome of his governance. What if I told you that the man crowned the future of the Democrats just torched his own resume, live for the whole world to see? Get ready, because Gavin Newsom's record is collapsing faster than a California high-speed rail budget. In this video, we're going to be exposing the brutal numbers Newsom's spin team can't bury, the French laundry fiasco that shattered his moral authority, and why even loyal Democrats are now whispering, he's done. Make sure to stick me to the very end of this video, because then you'll know why this really is the end of Gavin Newsom. Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your Patriot Professor, here to help you make sense of all the madness as a new conservative age inevitably and unstoppably rises. And so if you want a front row seat each and every day on how you are changing the world like you never even imagined, make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. Remember when Sacramento boasted billion-dollar surpluses? Can you remember? California was actually a reliably red state. Nixon, Reagan. Fast forward decades later, The state now faces, if you can believe it, a $68 billion, yes, that's billion with a B, deficit. The biggest raw dollar gap in California history. While families tighten belts, Gavin Newsom pushes $300 billion in spending he can't cover, betting California's future on ridiculous accounting tricks. And the cost of living in the Golden State? Residential electricity rates are now close to double the national average. Meanwhile, gas taxes just climbed to 61.2 cents per gallon, with new rules that could add even more at the pump. Gang, that's not leadership. That is legalized pickpocketing. And voters aren't waiting for a bailout. They're bolting. Roughly 300,000 California residents a year have been fleeing to freer, cheaper states after 2020. That's nearly double the pre-pandemic pace. Entire blocks of the city of San Francisco. Today, they resemble dystopian movie sets. Retailers are shuttering, and smash-and-grab robberies have skyrocketed. Now, Newsom is calling it a perception problem. We'll tell that to families installing home bars on their local Walgreens. This is all just the picture today, but it really started back in November of 2020. While locking down 40 million Californians, Newsom snuck into Napa's ultra-exclusive French Laundry for a $350 a plate birthday bash. No masks, no distancing, and of course, lobbyists aplenty. He ended up apologizing only when the photos of the event went viral. Not because he was actually sorry for his rank hypocrisy. Rules for thee, not for me. Then in January of 2022, a maskless photo op with Magic Johnson at the NFC Championship while school kids stayed muzzled. That was the latest embarrassment. I mean, if virtue signaling were an Olympic sport, Gavin Newsom would take gold, then test positive for hypocrisy. Years ago, California once ran on abundant domestic refining. Newsom's green edicts have chased plants to Texas and even to Asia. The result? Rolling blackouts in the world's fourth largest economy and summer gas flirting with $7 a gallon in Los Angeles. Oh, and that vaunted high-speed rail that Gavin Newsom was so excited about, remember, between Sacramento and San Francisco and L.A.? A decade later, billions, we're talking tens of billions of dollars spent, but not a single inch of track has been laid down. Not one. I mean, forget the fact that there's not even a train. There isn't a single inch of track, but California taxpayers are out tens of billions. Newsom's 32-year climb through city council and mayor's office, and lieutenant governorship, and now Sacramento governance has left California objectively weaker, poorer, and angrier. And the state as a whole is increasingly turning away from gruesome Newsom and instead turning red. Not only was Gavin Newsom subject to a recall vote, one of the few governors in the country to experience that shame, but California has actually shifted 10 points to the right since that recall vote. California shifted 10 points to the right back in November. Remember, Trump flipped a number of counties. He flipped San Bernardino. He flipped Orange County. He flipped Fresno. Literally a half dozen counties that were all blue in 2020. They're now red. Not a single county in California flipped the other way from red to blue. Not one. And not only that, but Californians completely rebuffed Newsom by voting overwhelmingly for Proposition 36. So this was a proposition that restored very tough, very harsh penalties for criminals, particularly those involved in drugs and theft. Newsom ran against it hard. Newsom publicly opposed it. And what did Californians do? They told him to shove it. They voted for that referendum with 70% of the vote. It was a total repudiation of his soft on crime and competent governance. And this very real trend of California moving to the right is showing up
even in voter registration numbers. While Democrats gained 197,000 voter registrations in California over the last few years, during that same time, Republicans gained 500,000. 442,000. In other words, even Gavin Newsom's own state is increasingly turning against him. And even blue state commentators now admit Gruesome Newsom's presidential ambitions rest on quicksand. And his answer to all of that? More TikTok videos, more Twitter spats, more photo ops 2,500 miles away from the crises he created. Voters are noting, and donors are getting very, very nervous. It does look like Gavin Newsom's prospects to become president are collapsing, just like his state.
I recently overheard a TV broadcast declaring that some absurd recent political poll shows Newsom skyrocketing in popularity and indicating he'll be a strong contender for the Democratic Party's nominee for president in 2028. I sure hope Dr. Turley's forecast is more accurate. Lastly today, let's consider more commentary by Alex Jones, this time on his July 28th The Alex Jones Show broadcast, about what Jones sees as the latest on President Trump's handling of the Jeffrey Epstein evidence now held by his Department of Justice. We played several video clips on our last show about the ongoing Epstein case controversy. It appears Trump has listened to those at his base who are very concerned about this, and while earlier declaring the matter another hoax that should be forgotten, is lately working for more or less full transparency and release of all legally allowed material in the case.
At 3 weeks ago, I warned everyone that this was going to be a giant firestorm because of Trump's absolutely horrible handling and creating the mega Streisand effect, saying don't investigate, you know, move along, there's nothing to see here with Jeffrey Epstein. Now I know why he did it, about 98%. And the statements he's making from all information I have are now true. And he's doing now what he should have done 21 days ago. So he's over in the UK, over in Scotland. He's made that huge victory deal with the EU, but that's all overshadowed. $1.3 trillion upfront investment, them accepting 15% tariffs on their goods. I mean, it's a stunning victory with the world's third largest economy. This on the heels of Indonesia, Japan, and more than 20 other countries signing the deals last week. Because we hold all the cards. It's been a one-sided screw job. But instead of all that good news being out there, it's Epstein, Epstein, Epstein. And people will say, well, then why did you go crazy 3 weeks ago? It wasn't me making it big. It was what Trump did. And I said the first day, I said, it's Trump behind it. Oh, no, it's not. It's Pam Bondi. The next day, yeah, it's me. Shut up. Newsflash. You want people to shut up about something, don't tell them not to talk about it. Come on, Trump. You know that. So we got the latest. I know the inside baseball. You'll get it all today. And so much more, the CIA director says, the indictments are coming for the deep state on Crossfire Hurricane. Well, the globalists are going down like a Led Zeppelin right now. Trump is dismantling their globalist system in live time. But just like the Hindenburg, fueled by hydrogen, burst into flames from sparks. 3 weeks ago, Trump had the Justice Department come out and say Epstein killed himself. He was working alone. He wasn't blackmailing people. There were no accomplices, and the moon is made of cheese. And I came out then, and I said, Trump's behind this. Days later, it was confirmed. I said, this is a disaster. He needs to explain why. I said, I have a good idea why. From all of my sources and research, and now it's become clear that that is 98% what's going on. And Trump is saying now exactly what I believed from all the evidence was going on. And that's, they had control of the Epstein file, Comey, his daughter, Brennan Clapper, the Biden, Obama people. And it's the very same people that have created all these other fake dossiers and put garbage in reports. And they have salted the file that Trump had them go grab, that Pam Bondi went and grabbed, and then they reported back to Trump, you're in here, and it's just a bunch of recycled crap, no meat and potatoes. And Trump got pissed, and it was already being pressured by the CIA because it implicates them and Mossad to deep six it. So he said, fine, deep six it. But the way he said deep six it created the mega Streisand effect. So I'm going to cover this first because it's overshadowing everything. And people out there either want to say Trump is guilty and was screwing underage girls with no evidence, or they want to say unquestioningly just agree with whatever Trump says and shut up. And then I have a lot of listeners that go, well, wait, you were mad at Trump 3 weeks ago, but now you've been defending him. I've been doing no such thing. I am telling you from the information I have exactly what I believe and what I think is going on. And I have answers to this. And we're going to get answers very soon, the final answers, and I'm going to explain why. But I got to walk through it. You have to look at each piece of this, and then you have to look at the backstory and then the connecting tissue around it. And you've got to have a lot of knowledge on this subject to be able to dead reckon what's going on. I understand the public that even thinks they're politically savvy. Some of them are very savvy. But most that are even somewhat politically active still don't really know what the Jeffrey Epstein case is. Well, I've known for almost 20 years what it is, and it's a window into intelligence agencies, blackmail rings, money laundering, espionage, black budget projects, illegal life extension technology farms that I've been talking about for 25 years. I wasn't completely savvy to it my first 6 years on air. My film Endgame, still more powerful than ever, Evergreen, Ultra Green, May 2007, gets into all this. 15 years ago, I told Rogan on air that Epstein wasn't just pimping out underage girls, but that he was involved in eugenics operations and secret cloning facilities. And then later you saw that come out that, oh, he was into that. No, he wasn't giving $50 million to the chair of the science division of Harvard for no reason. And Epstein didn't get his billions and billions and billions of dollars a year he handed out of the black hole or from off a tree, or he didn't find a bag on the side of the road. He was a deep state, multi-agency corporate spy. The real super spies are more like air traffic controllers or traffic cops, in that they're involved in all the groups, all the organizations. If you look at who is on the top of the Council on Foreign Relations, they're also on the top of the Royal Institute of International Affairs. They're also at the top of Club of Rome. They're also at the top of the WEF. They're also at the top of the Trilateral Commission. And then you'll also learn that in the earlier in their careers, they were all in MI6, CIA, and things like that. That's the junior leagues, folks. The FSB, the Mossad, the Shin Bet, the CIA, those are just governmental corporate holding companies. The real operatives are bank heads, university heads, think tank heads, and tax-free foundation heads. And they coordinate it all. Yeah, you've got Ghislaine Maxwell's sisters. I'm going to do a deep dive on this soon. Problem is, the more I research it, the more I want to know. So it's not that we don't have a lot of information. We have too much. They are literally involved in all the major power structures, and all of them are into Aleister Crowley and devil worship openly, just like in the Podesta files and WikiLeaks. And again, there's so much data goes into this. We've never seen Trump anywhere near an Aleister Crowley Satanist, by that, involved with him. We've never seen him in these international boards over the decades. We've never seen him in these different globalist organizations. He has been an outsider who came in, built his own name through the media, through real estate, through golf courses, through entertainment. And then he just came in and took over right at the top. Talk about the lone wolf. So again, yeah, other than socializing, in New York and areas like Palm Beach with Epstein, it's just not there. And again, if they would have already had this information on Trump, they would have used it. So why did he act so incredibly suspicious 21 days ago? And I take you back there. Remember, it's not about being right. It's about how I knew. That Sunday, they leaked the memo. Monday, everybody says it's fake. Sunday night. It was too hard to believe. Monday morning, I didn't say it was fake. Monday morning, people go, oh, it's Pam Bondi. She's an idiot. Saying Epstein killed himself. And I said, no. Remember Bongino and Patel a few months ago started that tour on Fox, then Rogan doing it. And I made some calls and knew some things, and I'll leave it at that. And that Trump was mad and sick of it and saw it as a diversion from the perfect administration and everything else. And I talked to people that were in conversations with Trump about this directly. So I was able to go on air and say, no, this is Trump. And it's going to backfire. And from what I've been told, he's been asked by the CIA because of the Mossad and CIA connection to shut this down. He was on the fence about it. Then Bondi goes and runs because Trump didn't block him. He wasn't thinking about it. He didn't have anything to hide. She goes and finds out the Democrats are hiding this trove in New York, a setup. They go get it. She sends it out to all the FBI offices around the country. We confirm that ourselves from insiders. And then all of a sudden they go, sir, you're all over this. He goes, what? And then they go brief him. And it's all a bunch of recycled crap. And I figured this out 21 days ago. Now it's all confirmed. And I wouldn't have thought Trump would just throw a fit like that, except I'm not trying to put him down. He's 79 and a lot of stress. I already know on issues that don't make him look bad or issues that don't, where he can't be framed on just policy issues and things. He has his agenda. He doesn't want to hear about side issues. When people bring up anything from his top 10 things, basically, securing the border, getting the best trade deals, bringing jobs back, stopping war around the world, being the capital of cryptocurrency, all the things he's into, anything that he doesn't want to focus on, he just says, I don't want to hear about it. Shut up. We've got urgency. We've got to get our agenda done. So he does that behind the scenes on other things and some public, then you see it on Epstein, it looks extremely guilty. Now, that's not me being an apologist. That's what I first approximated with all the backstory, all my connections and my sources. But I went from being sure he wasn't connected to anything illegal with Epstein to being a little concerned. But then you've got all these famous mobsters and you've got the record of it. And you even got Michael Cohen. And even Epstein now, they've released the Michael Wolff book interviews. And Epstein's like, no, Trump would never do anything corrupt through his real estate because he knows he's getting in trouble. He's got to work with the unions. I just heard that. Is this true? I mean, Trump knows he's under magnifying glass. I mean, let's say he's not a corrupt person. You could say, no, or maybe he's just smart. But Trump doesn't go to Moscow or St. Petersburg and get off the airplane and go to a hotel and be peed on so he can be framed and controlled and blackmailed. We knew that was fake then, and now it's confirmed to be fake. Well, I mean, you know Trump. Lone wolf, not going to let anybody control him. Totally deliberate. One of the only presidents you've never seen really stumble and fall, because I stumble and fall on them steps sometimes when I'm running fast, and I'm in good, decent shape. I stumbled down steps when I was 18 and in perfect shape. Notice how deliberate he is, going up and down. And it's because he is all about constantly beating his enemies by being as smooth and in control as he can be. But you don't get that behind the scenes because he has to vent, whereas I vent on air. So now he's come out and done what I said he should have done 3 weeks ago and explained what he means Epstein's a hoax. Not that Epstein wasn't a pedo, not that Epstein wasn't bad, but that what they're trying to do to him is a hoax. And finally, he's being articulate. And you can see how pissed he is, though, trying to control himself, because it is Brennan, Clapper, Comey, Garland, that for 9 years have been doing this to him, and it is the same people. So when he came out, finally getting a little more articulate, a week into it, and said, well, they have the file, the same people that did this to me before, and it's a distraction from all the good work we're doing, and they're scum. Well, now he's come out even more, but then he comes out Friday, we played the clips then, getting on Marine One, and stops and does a presser with a gaggle of reporters, a gaggle or three, and it's a palaver? What would you call it? Three gaggles? We just look it up. A conclave? What's three gaggles? That's old English stuff. It's hilarious. It goes back to the number of crows, but side issue. He says, hey, talk to Bill Clinton. Talk to the head of Harvard. Talk to this person. Talk to that person. I'm not on the airplane to Epstein Island. And I'll give you a list. People go, wait, you said there's not a list. There's not a client list at the top. There's all sorts of investigations and court investigations and FBIs. And there's just piles of it all over the place. So people, when he came out a week into it and said, oh, yeah, Comey and them controlled the file, they go, that's crazy. Now they're saying the Epstein file was controlled by the FBI. Ha, 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 ha. It was. And they're the people caught doing it before. So everything he's saying is true. He just acted extremely guilty, but really it was a fit throwing. 98%. And finally, he's getting more articulate. But what he needs to do is just go ahead and do a big press conference. You know, he thinks it's come out. Now he was already told us that, you know, if he makes a big deal about it, you know, now it makes it bigger. No. You're far past that. You need to just have a big press conference with big jumbo TVs and just show the Podesta files and the WikiLeaks, the seven-year-olds being delivered to the hot tub for his pleasure, and show his brother with his pedophile art in the Washington Post, and then just go over the $56,000 of hot dogs to Obama, and just go over and just flamethrow Lex Wexner, and just flamethrow them all, and just release it. And then the stuff that they've salted in there, saying your wife was a prostitute that Epstein controlled and that he introduced him to you, which has already been done and we know isn't true. And, oh, the three or four or five Jane Does that turned out to be totally fake that we know have been recycled through there. And just take it on head on and then destroy them with it.
I, like many others, am wondering if we will ever see the definitive truth about whether Epstein killed himself or was murdered, or just who and what was involved in Epstein's years of activities and association with top officials and societal figures. Whether we will ever find out the definitive truth about all the allegations of involvement of national and international intelligence agencies and operatives, titans of finance and business and government officials. That's all for our show today. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly here on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show. And elsewhere on the internet, including my pages at x.com, at jamesb50309177. Also on rumble.com and Apple Podcasts. While you're at it, if you're visiting my pages here at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show, scroll down on that first page there and check out our related videos section. Look for us again 2 weeks from today in the same time slot with another edition of the show. Have a great rest of your day and evening.